Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University, and we're back. I'm an author, psychologist, and speaker. Every week, we talk about how to love ourselves, others, and a higher nature, how to improve our love, relationships, finances, career, health, and spirituality. And today, we have a very interesting topic, a little bit somber, but also hopeful at the same time. Right now, we're suffering, unfortunately, with the virus worldwide, and people are dying. It's very sad. One of my friends, her brother-in-law contracted the virus, and he was okay, but his father died from it. And then also another of her friends actually is in critical condition right now. They're both youngish men. So it's very sad, but there's also hope. And today we're gonna talk about that hope and how we can turn this tragedy into a triumph. Our special guest today is Ashley Jackson. Ashley holds a master's degree in human resources management. She's traveled in over 50 countries in the world. She holds a 5K run in honor of her dad's memory, charity run. And she's a creator of an amazing new business called Timeless Dream Events. Event planning for the terminally ill. It's a really fascinating story. And it started, and she'll tell us more about it, when her fiance at the time proposed to her in January of 17. 2 months later, he had a critical terminal cancer diagnosis. But they still wanted to get married, and they actually got married, and he recovered. And she started her amazing business. Welcome, Ashley, to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Tell us what happened. I mean, this must be an amazing thing, difficult at the time with your fiance. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. So back in January of 2017, actually January 1st, he proposed to me at Cinderella's Castle at Disney World. Oh. So we were obviously on this amazing high, and he was not feeling well, and there was actually a big knot that formed on his forehead, and I said, okay, this isn't right, so we need to go get it checked out. Well, test after test, doctor after doctor, we heard that it was stage 4. It was a squamous carcinoma of the nasal cavity in stage 4. Wow. And the doctors, you know, at that time said, you know, don't worry about it. You're young. We're going to get this taken care of and you'll be okay. So, I mean, we sat there and we were like shocked. Like, we just thought maybe he had a bump from, you know, something random, like maybe he got hit and, you know, so we were just like, what? Because I was 31 at that time and he was 37. Mm-hmm. So we just weren't thinking stage 4 cancer. So then he immediately jumped right into some harsh chemo treatment. It was called cisplatin. Wow. So if anybody knows anything about that, it's rough. You lose hair, taste, your taste buds change. You're just sick. Sick. And mind you, I hadn't even promised this man yet. Like, we weren't even married. Okay. But I told him that we would fight this together.
I see. Tell me, had a 35% survival rate. Is that about right?
Yeah, it's 35% at that stage. And I believe even at stage 1, because it's a rare cancer anyways. And I believe when I was looking at statistics, even if it would have been stage 1, I think it was still about 60% survival rate. So
how did you feel at the time? It must have been devastating. I mean, have you had death in the family before? Is this something that was surprising to you?
Yes. So my dad actually passed away from a brain aneurysm. It was quick. We weren't expecting it. You know, he wasn't sick or anything. It was just bam. Labor Day. It will be 9 years ago this year, Labor Day. He just passed away. So I carried that, you know, that heaviness before, you know. So
how did the fiance's sudden illness strike you?
Shocking. And I'm not gonna lie, I was a little angry. Because my dad was my best guy, you know, and then now I'm dating this wonderful man. And then, you know, when anybody hears cancer diagnosis immediately, you know, no matter what you say, immediately you think death. I mean, it is what it is. And I'm like, really? really. Like, I already lost my dad, and now I'm looking at him. I just promised him that we could spend together, you know, forever, and now we have this to fight.
So at that point, okay, so at that point, now, did he still want to get married? Did you want to get married, or how did that work out? Because you guys did get married, I understand.
Yeah, we did. It was never a doubt of getting married. The only thing was I wanted to push it back. Like, I asked, can we postpone? Because we had actually set our date and did the down payment and everything on our venue. I said, well, can we at least just like push back the date, you know, maybe to the following year? But in his mindset, that was what was pushing him to, you know, fight the cancer, get through the treatment, was our wedding date. So I could understand that, and I just stopped asking.
In March, he got diagnosed. After January, getting engaged. What day did he want to get married? At the time,
We had set August of 2018.
Oh, okay, so it's only like 4 or 5 months after that diagnosis.
Yeah.
Okay, so he wanted that, and you wanted what? Maybe next year or something, or.
I wanted it like 2019 because I just didn't know what the treatment was going.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You know, I didn't know.
I see.
What we were going to be up against. Okay. Really.
So I assume he convinced you to do the earlier date.
Well, so we, like I said, we had already set the date and did the down payment.
Right.
So, and he was thinking like, oh, am I going to have to like pay all over again?
Economic issues. So,
yeah. But, you know.
But you have some second doubts, it sounds like, right? You wanted to make sure everything was okay through the chemo.
Yeah. And he was tired. So like, and I just didn't know if he would actually be
right,
like up and moving, you know. So,
I see. So you decided to do it, and you did get married, I assume, on August of 17?
August 11th of 2018.
Wow. Congratulations.
We got married.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Actually, yeah, we just celebrated 2 years.
Okay, now he did survive. He's alive now.
Yes.
And this is 2 year anniversary, right? I think.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, what would happen? I mean, unfortunately, if he would have died, would you have regretted the choice, or would you have been happy to have married him?
I would have been very happy to have married him. I wouldn't have regretted it for a second. I loved him through and through.
Yes.
And I've had multiple women and, you know, older men that have told me like, wow, you did what? And you weren't even married to him. You know, a couple people have said that they didn't know if they could have done that.
Yes.
And I didn't, you know, it was just, that's who I love and that's who I'm going to support. I didn't think anything of it.
I see.
That I didn't think there was an option to leave.
I see what you're saying. Well, that's a beautiful, you know, kind of idea you have. And then from this, apparently you've got an inspiration to create a business out of this. I think you call it event planning or catering for the terminally ill people and loved ones. You call it Timeless Dream Event. And I think one of your videos has said that timeless means like no limit. So I'm kind of curious about this idea. Like, are you doing like birthday parties or weddings for people that are like terminally ill, their loved ones? And also, I think the idea of a baby shower for a baby that was stillborn. I mean, is this the kind of stuff you'll be doing?
So, yeah, I would be planning, you know, weddings, showers, birthdays, whatever, whatever is needed. I just want to help people celebrate love and life, especially why that person is here, because, you know, it's cliche, but tomorrow is not guaranteed, you know, today. So,
The idea about the baby shower, you know, the stillborn baby is dead. Isn't that kind of macabre to do that? Like, you know, kind of like hard or painful to have that, you know?
It would be, it would be a very, and I loosely say this term, interesting to do, but because of COVID-19, a lot of people are having to pivot and shift the way they do events. So, you know, I've seen brides with masks on, funerals being live on Facebook, because a lot of family members can't be there in person, but they still want to feel a part of something.
Plus, a baby, I mean, for some people, it might be a symbol of love that, you know, you have this baby that's in a higher place, let's say. Maybe you're celebrating that part of it, I would think.
Right. And that's my biggest thing is I want to celebrate the love and the life, yes. Even though, you know, the baby might not have been alive. Yes. You know, at least it would help that mother or that father, you yes. know, work through some of those emotions because that's emotional.
Right. You can also say, I mean, if you have a spiritual sure. belief that you know, exists in some way, you know, in a spiritual way. And the other thing is, I know nowadays it's kind of common to do what's called celebration of life events. Do you do that kind of stuff too? Where, I mean, they're already gone, but you still celebrate their life?
Yeah, I would definitely host events for someone in that nature as well. Absolutely. That's kind of almost like a repass or what they would call a repass, you know, after someone, you know, the funeral, they have maybe a dinner afterwards. Okay. At least I know that's what we did for my dad when he passed away. We had dinner, right. Family and friends, whoever wanted to, you know, comfort, be there as a comfort, yes. they were invited.
I think about, you know, our community, Latin community, they do like, I think it's a 1 year thing they do, you know, I think it's through the Catholic Church or something. They do some kind of ceremony.
Oh, okay.
After death.
Now, interesting.
Now, this is a new business. I know you just started this, so I think you're projecting, you haven't actually done events of this magnitude yet, no, these terminally ill events.
Correct.
But you have obviously a lot of experience. You've been an event planner for a while, I believe. You've been doing this kind of thing.
Yeah, for about 8 years now.
Okay, so you have a lot of experience. Now, I don't know if you ever seen the show, Shark Tank on television. Have you seen that one? Where people come on with business.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Binge watched it.
So I'm going to play the role of this guy, Mr. Wonderful. Do you know Mr. Wonderful, by the way? The guy that's kind of tough on you? Your smile is frozen for a second here, but hopefully it'll come. Okay. Do you know Mr. Wonderful on the show?
Which one is that?
Kevin O'Leary, the guy that's kind of a tough guy.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So
yes,
I'm going to pretend I'm him. I mean, of course, I'm going to help you because I want to give you a lot of money. And hopefully people who listen to the show may want to donate to what you're doing, which I think is a great thing. You're not a nonprofit, are you, yet? Or do you have a nonprofit?
No, I'm not nonprofit.
Oh, okay. No. I can see this can be a wonderful humanitarian, you know, community kind of thing people can help you with. Okay, actually, so you're on actually Dr. Avila's Love University Shark Tank. So I'm nicer than that guy, I think. But first of all, what's the market for this? Do you know how many terminally ill people, how many terminally ill people are there in America that may need the service? Have you ever thought of that, like throughout the country?
No, and actually, I have some friends that work. some friends that work at hospice.
Yes.
What was that?
Well, that was a bad answer. I mean, you have to know your numbers, but okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do have some friends that work at hospice that I've been, you know, networking with yeah. to let, you know, people know there that of my services, you know, hospital chains. I'm well connected with the hospital yes. that my husband Troy was getting his treatments at. So, I mean, I know of places and where to plug into to get the word out for
definitely.
Timeless
streaming
events.
Thousands. I don't know if you looked it up on the internet, how many people die a year. I'm sure they're a big number. And then some of them are terminally ill, you know, over time. And I'm sure the loved ones.
Also, especially.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially what?
I was going to say, especially for cancer.
Yes, definitely.
The numbers are right. really high.
And I'm sure there's a lot of need for this idea that you're celebrating, you know, the love you have for the person before they die. Reggie, my producer, can you look that up? How many people die a year in the U.S.?
Sure.
Okay, give us a number on that. And of course, you know, again, you want to help the families. Now, the other thing in Shark Tank, I love Shark Tank. Do you have competitors, actually? This is a very unique idea. I haven't heard this before. But are there people that do terminally ill events? As far as you know?
Yes, actually. There is one that I know of in Columbus, Ohio. So I live near Dayton, Ohio.
Right.
But they are actually all nonprofit.
Oh, okay.
And there's like a time frame that they're allowed to do weddings within. You know, me, I'm I'm open Sunday through Saturday. Whenever you need something, I'm here. Theirs is more during the week.
I see. So basically, let's say one person has cancer, unfortunately, you know, maybe 6 months to live, and they want to get married. So you would actually do that marriage. You would, what do you do? Tell me your things that you would do for them.
Yeah. So I, not only would I plan their wedding, but because I've been in a situation like them, I can help guide that person that is the caregiver to, you know, seeking help, whatever that may look like for that person, as well as planning their wedding. Like I mentioned before, I have a videographer, photographer, caterer, makeup artist, and et cetera, of people that are ready and willing to step in with a limited time frame.
Now, have you ever heard of two people that have cancer at the same time who want to get married? And they both have terminal illnesses. Is that possible?
No. Oh, wow. Now that could be, I mean.
That'd be interesting. I mean, it happens, right?
It's not impossible.
Wow.
Yeah, like, it's not impossible.
Remember Romeo and Juliet,
So
the story of the two that, I guess they committed suicide at the time, but you know, they both died together anyway. Because their love was eternal. Do you remember that story?
Right.
Yes. So I guess, you know, somehow, you know, these things, although it seems in some ways some people are macabre or kind of sad, you know, I guess some people don't like the idea of funerals at all, right? You know, the idea of being around dead people, unfortunately. So what's your feeling about it? I mean, are you immune to this? Because you've gone through this a couple of times.
Oh, no, I'm not immune at all.
So when you go to a dead place,
funerals make me sad.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But what would you want to be in this field? You're going to be around, unfortunately, people that may die soon. What attracts you to this?
Right. But I have gotten to a point where, you know, I can be strong for others.
Yes.
So, you know, I can be that person that they lean on and need support from.
Yes.
But I do have the compassion
yes.
as well to help others. So, you know, I'm passionate and compassionate. It's not something that I'm immune to, but I wouldn't let it bring me, you know, down to the point where I want to be able to be a pillar and help right. somebody.
Well, you have a very compassionate face. I mean, you exude a lot of lovely energy. And
you
also call yourself, I think, the chief caregiver ambassador. See, I wrote a book called Love Types on Myers-Briggs and love and compatibility. And there's something called the caretaker personality. Do you think you're a caretaker personality?
I believe so, especially through everything that I've been through.
Yes.
So like when my dad passed, I'm the oldest child. I have a younger brother. So I immediately jumped into a caretaker role, to be that person for my mom and my brother. And when I got to the place where I felt like I had grieved his death, it was almost like this happened with Troy. Like, okay, you got over, not over it, but you worked through this part of life. Let's see what you can do with Troy, your soon to be husband. So I think I would be, if I were to take the test, I would have the caretaker.
Someone who's a caretaker means someone who's a feeling personality, emotional. They're actually kind of practical and concrete, so they can get things done well. They're also structured, so there's good organizers. Also, the caretaker is actually more introverted energy. I don't know if you're, are you introvert or extrovert energy, do you think?
No, I'm extroverted.
Extrovert. Okay, so you're what we'll call the E. Okay. You get energy from other people, socializing and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so actually this is a little different. That's called the dutiful hostess, which actually someone loves to throw parties. It's actually the ideal thing for you.
Yeah.
Make sure people are taken care of and entertained, you know. So it's a great hostess.
Yeah.
So you got the right love type for your occupation in that sense. So you actually are able to, and also you can network pretty well, right? You can socialize with people.
Yes. Yes. And people always tell me that they usually hear me before they see me because I'm usually like coming into a room either laughing or, hey,
Oh, there
you
you go.
know.
Hey, look, hi, I like that. Okay. So you're a very cheery person. Now, two things about this. One is, are you a spiritual person at all? Do you have any spiritual beliefs or anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's the only
Okay.
way that I could work
Are
through.
you a Christian, for example, or a particular religion?
Yes.
Oh, a Christian. Okay.
Yes.
You know, in the Old Testament, they do say that you don't always want to be cheery with a grieving person because that could be like a wet rag or something on them. So you gotta, I guess, monitor that. Have you seen that before? If you're too cheerful, you know, and they're down, it's not a good match. But then, you know, if you're down, you know, that may not be a good match either. So how do you
Right.
deal with that with your clients?
Yeah,
How do you
so
come into them?
yeah, so you know, I try to meet people where they're at, and you know, I feel like I can read a room really well.
Okay.
So if if they're kind of weepy and down,
Yes.
I'm not going to be that way necessarily, but I'm not going to come in and be like, "Hey, where's the party at?" You know,
Exactly right.
I'll come in there and ask what you would like from me to help you
Exactly.
celebrate the love, the life, come in there kind of calm, cool, and collected.
That's
But you
great.
know,
So,
if the energy's up, I'll be up.
there you go. Well, it's kind of like we call it matching and mirroring in psychology, where you match the person, you know, and you're empathetic. So, you know, you kind of feel as they feel, you know, they're sorrowful and.
Yeah.
And then you can maybe raise a level a little bit, maybe say something positive, maybe a humorous thing at some point when they're ready for it. But everything's timing, as you know, so you have to be
Right.
in the right timing. By the way, my great producer Reggie came up with some statistics.
Oh.
2.7 million people die in the U.S. each year. 600,000 die of cancer. 600,000 people die of cancer. Now, I know you're writing this down, right?
Yes.
Now think about it. So with 600,000, I mean, it's a horrible thing to think about, but people may need your services, I would think, right? You know, throughout the
Right.
U.S. And are you U.S. Or are you only focused in, you know, Chicago or Illinois?
Well, so I live in Ohio,
Right.
but I am willing because, well, I've traveled quite
Yes, you
extensively.
told me
I am willing to travel. I know people have reached out to me, asked me where I'm based. I tell them that I'm based in Ohio, but I'm willing to travel where I'm
Okay.
needed.
Now, are these events going to be virtual? I mean, or live, or what's going to be the scenario right now?
So right now, I would like to focus, in person.
Okay.
And then kind of pivot, as need be to virtual.
I mean, now because of the virus, I mean, are people willing to get together wearing masks, or how's it going to work out this thing?
Yeah, I believe especially depends upon like where the venue is
Right.
and
Outdoor,
um,
indoors,
who,
definitely.
yeah, and who can get there is another thing.
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay. Now, are you physically present, or do you have idea of having people there for you, or what's your idea about
Oh,
that?
I want to be physically
You
present
want to be in the
because
presence.
if my name is getting put
Oh,
on
okay.
something, I want to be
Okay. I get
there.
it. Okay. So you're kind of running the show, right? This event, you know, birthday party, anniversary, whatever it is, or wedding, and then you're willing to travel nationwide, right, to do it.
Sure.
Okay. Now, Kevin O'Leary, the Shark Tank guy, would say, okay, what's your profit potential? Like, do you know what do you charge for these things? How many do you want to do a year, for example?
Yeah, so and it all depends upon exactly what they want or need. So it just all depends upon that. And I focus more on the story that they have to tell me.
Okay.
If someone comes to me and they say, I only have, two or $3,000 budget, well, you're not going to get a six-tier cake and a seven quartet band. And, so I take all that stuff into an
Right.
account.
Well, you know, the weddings normally can charge up to 20K or $20,000 or more, right? They can get really
Oh,
expensive.
yeah, definitely. Because I'm planning, and she's actually not terminally ill, but I'm planning
Yes.
one of my really good friends' wedding now,
Yes.
and we've already had to add 10K to her budget.
Wow. Okay. You're pretty
And
pricey.
she's, yeah, and she's, and she already started.
Okay.
I believe
That's
she
like a
started at
one-time
20.
lifetime event. You know, these are very special milestones that people go through, especially in the terminally ill. I mean, this is like a lifetime memory, hopefully, that you have.
Right.
And then the idea that I think you are kind of selling memories in some way, marketing beautiful, lovely memories, right?
Absolutely. Because I do say a lot, cherished memories are very important. Absolutely. I know Troy, my husband, was getting upset.
How are you
me.
Guys doing, by the way? Everything going good with you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Love-wise, relationship-wise, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He gets upset with me all the time because I take just random pictures. Like, I'll just snap them. But I'm like, there was a point where, actually, when we got back from our honeymoon, the doctor told us, because he had had a MRI scan before our wedding, and they said, do you want to know the results now or when you get back? And we chose to wait till we got back. Sure. Well, they told us to call hospice when we got back. Ooh. I said, we just came back from paradise and you're telling me what? He's going to die? Really?
This was back in March of 17 or is it recently?
This was actually back in 2019.
Wow. So he had a relapse.
Sorry. It was the beginning of September of 2018. They told us to call hospice.
Wow. So he had another relapse is what you're saying at the time.
Yes. So he had to go through all the chemo and radiation again. And it wasn't until 2019 is when they said, oops, I'm sorry. It wasn't actually like tumor growing. It was necrosis, which is dead tissue, which I still don't understand.
So like a misdiagnosis, they kind of messed up on that, you think?
You know, with the cancer he had, it was all experimental because it's so rare.
Right.
Everything that they did for him was experimental. And we knew that going in.
Hmm.
So, you know, I don't fault them at all. He's had a great team.
Sure. Now, how's he doing right now? That's the important part. Is he?
Yeah. Oh,
he's not cancer free or he still has the cancer?
Yeah. No, he's cancer free as of March 2020.
Congratulations. That's great.
Cancer free.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jesus. And but he's ready to like get out of the house because he was cooped up before. Okay. And then COVID hit, and it's like, you know, him being high risk, he's getting a little antsy about being in the house, but he's doing great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, let's switch topics a little bit. Now, in terms of actual process of grieving and loss, now you went through this, maybe you can tell us a little bit about it. And also people you work with, you've heard of Kubler-Ross, who wrote the famous theory of grieving and loss.
The stages. I was going to say, I've heard the name.
The stages of grieving. So she talked about we go through certain stages. Sometimes you skip them. Sometimes you go through them. For example, the first one is called denial. You say, I can't believe that, you know, this happened, this diagnosis. And then you go into like anger. Anger could be at the doctor, maybe God, maybe at even the person who's leaving you, maybe dying. Then there's bargaining, where you try to, you know, work it out with the doctor, you know, help me, or go to Mexico or some country to find a solution, or God, right? You know, I'll stop eating chocolate chips if you save my partner. And then, of course, you know, we go into depression, right? Sadness, where, you know, crying, maybe lack of sleep or eating too little or too much. Kind of a numbness, emotional numbness and heaviness. And then we have what's called the upward path, where we try to figure out strategies for getting out of this grieving. My dad died 5 years ago, and I was very close to him. So I would watch YouTube videos on spirituality and talk to friends, you know, try to find comfort. And then from there, you move into more solution-focused, you know, like you process the emotions and find a goal. And finally, there's acceptance. Not fully that this person died or you're still going to have pain, but you can find a meaning in what happened and the love that lasted. So tell us a little bit, did you ever go through any of these stages or what's been your experience?
Oh, I feel like you just told my whole life story.
Are you sure? Oh, okay.
I've been through all of those stages.
Okay, so tell me from the beginning. The denial, did that hit you first? Or was it something?
Denial, because I believe, when he first got diagnosed, we were like, no.
Hmm.
I do remember him saying no.
He said no, like I don't believe it. Like I'm a young, healthy dude, right?
Right, otherwise healthy, right. Yes. So, you know, we were like, what? But because of it being stage four, we didn't have time to stay in that denial. We had to act.
Okay, that's good. So you jumped a level over. So how about anger? Were you angry at anything, you know, life, God, you know, doctors?
Sure. Absolutely. I was angry with God for a long time. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because like I mentioned before, I was still – you know, harboring some anger and angst against God with the death of my dad.
Right.
And then now the next wonderful man in my life might die again. Like, so, I questioned and I was angry for a long time.
I can see that. And then, of course, there's bargaining, they say. Did you ever try to like bargain with God or with someone else? Even fixed. Trying to
You know,
find the best
when,
doctors and all that kind of stuff, you know.
yeah, I, you know, I bargained, I'd say what probably with the medical system. I just, what else can we do? Like you're saying, like this isn't working, but
Yes.
what, please, can you please find something that will work for him, that will bring him, the cancer free diagnosis. That's what we want. What else can we do? I
I
did
see your
ask.
emotions in your face right now. What are you feeling at the moment?
I'm just remembering those times back in 2017 when it was just all so new and I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I just wanted to keep him alive.
Is there sadness? I mean, are there tears in your eyes right now?
No.
But I mean,
No, there.
thinking back to those times, was there sadness in your heart?
Oh, absolutely. I was really sad.
Depressed. Okay. So I guess there's heaviness and all that, and that kind of feeling, right? That like, did you have headaches and not sleep well and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah, I didn't really sleep very well. I actually developed migraines.
Oh, wow.
And the eating, I
Okay.
either didn't eat
Yes.
or when I did get to finally sit down to eat, it
Yes.
was like a 5-course meal at 10 p.m.
Oh no.
and
Okay.
then go to bed at 11. So it's not really
You gain weight
good.
or lose weight or
I did gain weight.
you get weight, okay.
That wasn't my best moment in
Of course. Well,
life.
that's part of the reaction. Now then finally acceptance. Now of course he became healed eventually, but did you accept his condition? I mean that he may, die?
I never have actually told him this. but I at one point I did accept it, and I think it's because of what happened with my dad.
Oh, I see.
If I had never had anybody pass away before then, maybe not, but
Right.
I had accepted that possibly I might lose him after being married for a year or less.
Wow. That would have been a double blow, right? Did your dad die how many years before that, you said?
So he died in 2011.
Okay. So it's some time had passed, maybe 6 years. But you're still reeling from that. You're very close to your dad.
I was v daddy's girl
Mama's
through
girl,
and
daddy's
through.
girl. Okay. Okay, so that's interesting. So then all that, and then finally, well, the idea of finding that hope, after a period of time psychologically, once you see the loss or the grieving part of it, is very important.
Right.
And the other thing is, coping with this whole grieving thing. Now we've had some people on the show that are, they deal with death and all that. But in terms of what you personally went through, and also you're going to help people, which is very wonderful, that are going through this process, right? Because you're going to be helping these clients, right? They want these events.
Right.
So they talk about things like self-care, like getting your massages, facials, exercising, doing things for yourself during these times. Also not getting into bad habits, like, maybe overeating or substance abuse, but some people drink a lot or use drugs. Also, things like finding the meaning in the loss, or the losing part of it, like the love that you have will survive, that kind of stuff. And that you went through it and made you a stronger person and things like that. And also not to make any big decisions during that time. Although you did make a big decision, right?
Yeah.
So that one you had to make, right? But other stuff, maybe like moving to a new city or something, you didn't want to make that kind of decision.
No.
But then for the meaning, did you get to that point where you're finding some meaning in the suffering, and going what you went through?
It wasn't until after he was cancer free. So, and when I finally was able to sit and think like what, okay, because I had given myself, like 99.9% of myself into being a caregiver
Yes.
into him. And then when he was, cancer free, I was just like, Okay, so then now what? What am I supposed to do? What does Ashley do now? Because all I knew was caregiving,
Right. Did you
past.
even give up your job a little bit, or are you just working extra?
See, so I have been blessed to be able to work from home,
Oh, okay.
period. I do HR, contract work.
Yes.
So I've been able to work from home
Oh, great.
for the past 5 years now. So I was able, like during his treatments and such, I was able to work from the hospital. But yeah, so it wasn't, I was actually going to go away for 3 weeks to South America and back in March, or excuse me, April. And because of lovely COVID-19, everything got canceled. So I actually took that money that I had paid for my trip and invested it in myself with a business coach.
Oh, good.
And, we worked through my passions, my likes, my dislikes. And then after, finally writing stuff down, and I was looking at it, and I just kept thinking, well, I say travel and event planning a lot. Like, what's going on here?
Okay. So you came up with the idea for the business in part by your husband's cancer and how you recovered from it.
Yes,
And the idea that other
exactly.
people are going to have the same desire, right? Maybe to marry or, to do events for, loved ones who are maybe terminal, and so forth. So that's kind of a great inspiration. That kind of gave you the power to do it.
Yeah.
Now, actually, the other thing is, in terms of the business part of it, because this is really fascinating that you're taking this business idea and a loving idea at the same time, right? So humanitarian. Now, how do you think this is going to be different, event planning for terminally ill than regular event planning? I'm thinking maybe the emotional side of it, having to counsel them, maybe even have a therapist on staff or someone that can counsel them a little bit. And I'm thinking also insurance. I mean, are there insurance risks here? What if they die at the event? What do you do then?
Yeah, so you know what? That's
Unfortunately.
very interesting that you asked that. So yeah, definitely the emotional human, being a human
Sure.
will be my biggest set apart from, competition as far as, just not reg I don't want to say regular, but traditional events. So that part, being able to let people know I know what you're going through. I've felt it. And then having the event, hopefully we're gonna pray and hope nothing happens. But like the suggest what you mentioned with someone passing at the
Possible.
event, that's something to always think of, and might have to add that to the
Put it
contract.
down. Yeah, insurance, right? Okay.
Yes.
I mean, you got to be practical about it, but I mean, you're dealing with a lot of factors, right? Practicality, business,
Right.
also love and spiritual elements. And one thing I liked about what you said is that time is your most precious asset, and you take away that burden for them, right? Instead of them planning the event, you do it for them so they can spend more time with their loved one.
Exactly.
But also, you talk about short time frame. I'm thinking, unfortunately, if they are passing in a few weeks or a month, you got to go fast, right? So
Right.
how do you do that? What's your strategy for getting this thing done quick?
Yeah, so I have, that's why I said I have, people that I know I can depend on. If I get someone that emails me or calls me and says, "Hey, like we just got news that my boyfriend is going to pass within the next month. I need someone that can do, XYZ. I need photographer, makeup,
Birthday parties.
cake, all this." I've got those people that I can call and like, "Hey, we have to get up and get
Yes.
into gear."
Quickly.
So I have those people that I trust and that are ready to go for me.
That's important, yeah. The speed of it. I mean, the compassion you already have, but putting it together, I think, is important. And what do you think are your biggest challenges in this new business you're doing? By the way, do you want to go on Shark Tank now? Now that I gave you the inspiration for
Yeah.
it. No, seriously, I think you
Yes,
can
I'm
pitch that.
ready.
No, I'm serious. But you have to get your numbers, all that kind of stuff,
Yes,
honestly speaking.
numbers.
Yeah, numbers, yeah. But still, but no, I think you can just pitch it. They obviously get a lot of submissions, but who knows? They love these philanthropic humanitarian ideas, the Shark Tank people. Do you ever see them, by the way?
You know, I haven't really thought of it in that way.
That's pretty cool. Well, you can ask for, I don't know, how much money would you ask for, let's say right now, that you might need to really expand your business?
To really expand it, at least 100,000.
Okay, yeah. And how much percentage do you want to give up? They might ask you.
Give up 10%.
Oh, there you go. Okay, there you go. Okay, you're rallying at $1 million, they say, right, based on that. Okay. Now, in terms of, so what are your biggest challenges and biggest rewards that you think will come from this business?
The biggest challenge is really just marketing for me, and who to market to. Because of it being, and I realize how it may come off as, what you do events for who?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
I have had no negative feedback thus far. It's all been like, wow, like this is amazing. I've
Yes.
never even heard of something like this. And I think the biggest reward would be to just be that beacon of light and hope for someone that's going through a tough diagnosis, and being able to turn that frown upside down, as my mom would say.
Like
But yeah, just being there, I've become very more so vocal about caregivers and trying to make sure that caregivers take care of themselves, because if we lose ourselves,
Yeah.
we're not going to be able to help that terminally
Well,
ill
that was
or
my
that
concern for
chronically
you,
ill.
because you being a compassionate feeler, a lot of therapists get burnt out working with kids that are in trouble and all that. So how do you separate yourself from that? Are you able to detach a little bit emotionally, to protect your own, core?
Yes, and that's something that I've been learning. It's a continual learning process for me, to kind of detach. Troy will even be like, whoa, maybe we need to come down a notch, because that's not actually your life that you're worried about. I'm like, yeah, that's true. So it's still a continuous learning process for me,
Definitely.
but I am getting better at that, doing
So,
that. But
a couple of final questions. Actually, this is a little more personal to you, but I think you can apply it to people. Is first of all, how important is love in your life, and how do you define love?
love is very important to me. It's a feeling of hope and joy to me. I'm not happy with Troy. I'm joyful with him, because happy to me means something has to be happening to be happy. I am joyful and cheerful when I'm with him, or it doesn't have to be with a husband, your mother, brother, whoever.
How about your dog? Do you like animals a lot?
Yeah, absolutely. But I've become more so in the moment. Like, love is when you just look at someone and you just smile and you're just like, you just, wow.
I like that.
Wow.
It's beautiful. So that's a very internal trait you're talking about, almost like unconditional love, what we call agape in
Yeah.
terms. So you love the person kind of despite maybe external things, as opposed to, you said, happiness. You need, maybe him to make a certain amount of money or her to do something, to be happy.
Yeah.
So I like that concept. If you could tweet one phrase to the world, what would you tweet?
Celebrate life and love and stay fearless.
Beautiful. You just came up with that now, or is that one of your mottos for your company?
It's actually two of my mottos put together.
Okay, for the company or just in general?
Both.
Okay,
I use it for both.
I kind of like that. Say it one more time so we can grasp it.
Okay. Celebrate life and love and stay fearless.
Ah, interesting. Okay, stay fearless. So tell me how they go together, because I can see them kind of connected in a way.
Yeah, so life is meant to live. You don't want to stay in a box. And some people stay in their little box because they're fearful. Well, don't be fearful. Jump out of that box and live your life. Love as much as you can. I end every conversation with my loved ones with a, I love you. Ah, talk to you later.
Yes.
So yeah.
What's one of the biggest regrets people do have, you know, I didn't say I love you enough, right? When people pass. But yeah, that's a beautiful phrase. Now, in terms of the future, now let's look at that, because this is a very exciting thing you got going. I'm really in supportive of what you guys are doing, and I can help you in any way that you need and reach out to others. So I know you have a website, you got your events. Are you planning a book, seminars, or anything else in the future?
Yes. Actually, I will be, I actually have my book. I just need to actually get it pushed out because I'm going to put my daily journals that I wrote as I was going through this process with Troy and make it into a book.
Okay, beautiful. I'd love to see that.
It's like everything's written. I just need to get it.
You got to put it down. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And tell us, okay, what's your website? How do we hear more about you?
Yeah, so website is www.timelessdreamevents.com. Okay. That's where people can go to look at a couple of the events I've done, book a chat with me, whether it's a caregiver that just needs to talk and, you know, express their feelings, or, you know, also someone that needs to plan an event.
Yes.
You can also find me at on Facebook at Timeless Dream Events, and also on Instagram at Timeless Dream Events.
Perfect. Are you going to be on Oprah anytime soon, or one of those?
I mean, I would love to have a talk show. I love to talk. So.
Oh, you do? Okay. You can tell that. Well, so you want to be the next one?
I mean, if I'm not going to say no.
Okay. I like that. We got the personality for it. And, you know, I really like this concept. So actually our show, we're going to title it something like, Would You Marry Your Soulmate If They Were About to Die?
Ooh, that's a good title.
It's a hook, right? What do you think of that?
Oh, that's a really good title. That's going to be grabby. Like, yeah.
I mean, because it really did happen, right? Because your soulmate, right? And they're unfortunately in a bad state, but you did marry him.
Right.
And maybe it's part of that love that helped him pull through. You know, there's actually studies on, you know, immunology based on psychology. Do you guys feel that? That somehow helped them?
Yeah, he tells me that all the time. Sometimes I'll catch him looking at me. You know how I look at him, and he'll be looking at me, and I'm like, what? He's like, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for you. And that's not to toot my own horn or anything. Sure. Like I said before, I didn't think leaving was an option.
Definitely.
So
that's beautiful. Well, Ashley, it's been wonderful to have you on the show. You're a lovely person. We'd love to have you on again. Maybe bring your soulmate and husband on. We'll do a little dual chat and all that. And, I don't know if you ever got to L.A., you know, where I'm at in California. We can definitely do a little something together, maybe.
All right. Yeah, awesome. That'd be great.
Loves
L.A.
I love it. Yeah, okay. Probably one of our events. You know, Love University, we've done events in the past. Because one of our goals is to eradicate loneliness, you know, in the world, actually.
Okay.
Loneliness is a big problem, even more than many physical diseases. Because you're lonely, that means you're disconnected from yourself, others, and a higher nature.
Sure.
You know, you feel isolated, even if you have people around you. I assume that with terminal illnesses and depression and all that stuff, people become very self-isolating.
Oh, absolutely.
And also now with the current virus as well. So, you know, this is a platform, Love University, to help people connect worldwide on loving energy basis, you know, to help people have more compassion and empathy.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you're part of that, Ashley. So you're one of our now favorite speakers on the show.
Oh, thank you. It was a great pleasure.
Yes. That was a great show with Ashley Jackson, Timeless Dream Events. Planning for terminally ill people and their loved ones. It's a really very touching story. Her fiance overcame cancer and they got married while he had the diagnosis. And she wants to help other people as well. So really, it kind of connects with Love University's concept of extending love energy without expectation, you know, through our loved ones, people that we just meet, I mean, in the world itself. So if you want to be part of Love University, you want to be a guest on the show, contribute an idea, give us some feedback, you can reach us at 310-226-8090. Visit us at loveuniversity.love. Email us at loveuniversitylove@gmail.com. You can also subscribe to us on Podbean, Spotify, SoundCloud, and iTunes. And make sure to follow us at love_u podcast for Twitter, Instagram. Like us on Facebook at Love University Podcast. Until next time, go out and tell your loved ones that you love them while they're still here and while you're still here. And go out and try to make every day a compassionate and empathetic day. Until next time, Dr. Alex Avila, Love University.